the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here. Tuesday morning, just a little bit of a scheduling change. I've announced this a couple of times this morning, but Premier Scott Moe holding a live news conference at noon today, largely because of the new canola tariffs that were announced by China this morning, a 76% on canola seed, which of course will have a major implication. This, just as crops are going to be starting to get knocked down in our province, harvest is literally right here now on the doorstep. This is not welcome news. So the premier holding a news conference, I expect we'll hear from him what he plans to do and what he expects from the federal government. So we'll have that for you live. We were supposed to have a couple of NHL hockey players joining us today, Kevin Kaminsky and Matthew Barnaby. These two fellas are two of four NHL players that are going to be at the Delisle Sports Dinner on Friday night in the great community of Delisle. They will be joining me now tomorrow morning, a little bit closer to lunch, so I look forward to having them on. And by the way, there's still tickets available to that Delisle Sports Dinner. If you've been there before, you know this is a top-notch event. Not only do they bring in the great speakers, and I talked about Kevin Kaminsky, Matthew Barnaby, Byron Vitz, and Joey Kosher, the four speakers that they're bringing in this year, all NHL greats, three of them with great ties to this province, of course, but they've got all kinds of great silent and live auction items. It's a super night. You can go to the Delisle Sports Dinner Facebook page or even just go to the Delisle Town website. They'll have links to tickets if you want. You can snap up just a few tickets left for the event. Well, I talk about the great community of Delisle. There's so many. This province is teeming full of incredible communities. Indian Head, Saskatchewan, also one of my faves. Very close to where I grew up. I've spent a lot of time in Indian Head through the years. And there's some hidden gems in that community. And we're going to talk about one right now. Not just the location, but someone who's brought some excitement to the community. A musician with humble beginnings right here in Saskatchewan. Brushed shoulders with some of the most iconic rockers in the world. Richard Cochran, a musician and owner of the Gallery Coffee House in Indian Head. Now, Richard, very musically inclined, he's taking his passion for music and art to help other artists thrive. He owns the Gallery Coffee House in Indian Head, which gives up-and-coming, blooming artists a space to show off their work, to show off their music skills. And I'm very happy to have Richard joining us by phone this morning. Richard Cochran, thanks so much for taking the call.
Hello, Evan. Hi, could you hear me okay?
I absolutely got you loud and clear. Okay. People are pumped up. People love the Gallery Coffee House in Indian Head. As soon as I announced you were on the program, people like on the text line went alight with people saying it's a must-go-to spot. So congrats on that.
Oh, thank you, Evan. Yeah, we opened this about 2 years ago, my daughter and I, and it's been going really well. The community's been so supportive. And we moved out here from BC, actually, so we had to get to know everything about these small towns and everything, and everybody's been just so social. It's been great.
So I'm really curious to hear a bit about you and your story, Richard, because you are a very talented musician who has worked with some of the best in the industry. Have you been a musician? Was this an early passion for you at a young age, Richard?
Yeah, it was. I'm following General Hillier here, and my father was a long time, like a career military man with the Royal Canadian Regiment, and we moved around a lot, as we do, and we ended up out in BC, and I remember in our basement having a full band rehearsal while he sat upstairs and didn't mind at all. We're blasting as a teenager. Music. And he was so supportive. It was great.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
So,
yes, to the military.
So, were you always a guitar player? What was your passion? Were you one of these?
I was always a bass player.
Yeah, yeah.
I've played a few other instruments as well, but not so much as I've been focusing on the bass. I did that for many years in cover bands, playing festivals and nightclubs and bars and things like that. Sort of paid the dues. And then eventually I ended up in a small little spare bedroom in the West End of Vancouver working with Randy Bachman on some songs that I wrote with some friends. And we worked together for a while, and then he called me up and we did a bunch of fundraising through. We were saving the old growth forest in Stein Valley, various different types of fundraising, food bank, fundraisers at the Commodore Ballroom and things like that. So we kind of joked around that we worked together for about a year or so and never got paid for anything. But and then he got a Sony record deal after he'd finished the Guess Who and BTO, and he called me up and said he'd like to hire me as his bassist. So I was thrilled about that. It's a big step for me. And I ended up playing with him for 10 years.
Yeah, that's Randy Bachman's such a nice fellow. We've been lucky and fortunate to have him on this program before as well.
He's a great storyteller.
Yeah, he's a very good storyteller. I mean, he used to have his own radio show, so that was right up his alley there. Did I see a note that you at one time worked at Neil Young's ranch?
Well, yeah, the first CD I did with Randy, there was a few guest stars on it. One of them was actually Sam the Record Man's son, Jason Snyderman, played keyboards. We had Margot Timmons from the Cowboy Junkies, and then Neil Young also guested on the CD. And then eventually we were going to do some videos. We did two versions of the lyrics of a song called Prairie Town. One was a folk version, one was a garage band, kind of basement garage band sounding song. And we all ended up going to Neil Young's ranch near Redwood City, south of San Francisco, up in the mountains, Broken Arrow Ranch. We did videos there all day one day, and it was so fun. He had a cameraman from Woodstock that he knew. And so it was a really fun day. We did two versions of it. We can still see it on YouTube. It's just called Prairie Town. And it's about growing up in a prairie town, and now I live in a prairie town, so it's pretty interesting. And we also did a song. I went back there again one time. We did a couple of songs. One was a tribute to a guy named Hank Marvin from the Shadows, Cliff Richard in the Shadows in England, guitar player Hank Marvin. A bunch of well-known guitar players from around the world contributed to this. And we also, in the evening, we jammed on a song and put together a song called Made in Canada. And it's another song about growing up in Canada, what it's like just as a younger person growing up. And so I had a lot of Canadian stuff, and it was fun playing with Neil, obviously, for those few times that I played there. And then I ended up being able to play for him for the Governor General Award he received as well. So I've hung out with him enough times that I know what kind of a great guy he is, and it was really fun to play with him.
That's so cool. Richard Cochran is my guest, a talented, acclaimed musician, owner of the Gallery Coffee House in Indian Head, which we'll talk about in a second. Who would you say your influences were at a young age, especially deciding bass guitar was where you were going? Who was it for you?
Yeah, that's a good question, Evan. I really, I was going to say I appreciate your segue music because it's a lot of the stuff that inspired me. I hear songs like Free Ride or, some of the 70s rock song is really what I started playing and covering in bands. And so some of the really great bass players caught my attention, especially from the Motown era, guys like James Jamerson or even John Entwistle from The Who, which I eventually met when I met Ringo. And, it was just those kind of, I don't know, the bass just resonated for me, and I just started working on it.
Did I just hear you very casually say when I met Ringo? You met Ringo Starr?
Yeah, well, Randy was lucky enough to be called to do a summer tour with Ringo in his All-Star band, and then they invited us to come down and meet everybody. We came from Vancouver down to Seattle. They had a two-day date there, and we came down on the second day, so it was super casual. They weren't traveling or anything, and I was able to talk to Ringo and Mark Farner from Grand Funk and Billy Preston and John Anselos was another bass player. Talked to him. He's from The Who, the British group. And so it was really magical to meet with Ringo. He was such a nice guy. He was very friendly. He pointed out some funny stuff, and it was just a really great experience.
Very cool. Did you ever get starstruck? Ever get starstruck at all, Richard?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I was starstruck all the time, and I started carrying this little tiny 35mm camera in my pocket everywhere I went, and I'd pull it out and take pictures, kind of like Forrest Gump pictures. I'd have pictures with famous people, but I didn't really know them very well. And so, I did that a lot. We played lots of festivals and recording studios, and I was asked to go and pick up one of Randy's collectible guitars from the guys from Aerosmith, so Joe Perry and Steven Tyler were joking around, and it was really fun to meet all these people, and it was very much a starstruck type of feeling.
It's so cool. Richard Cochran is my guest. Do people meet you in the cafe? Are you in the cafe?
Oh, yeah, I'm working there full time. I shouldn't be, but I am. My daughter is basically running it. I'm just, you know, I wanted her to have her own business and her own house, and that's one of the reasons why we moved from the high pressure of the Lower Mainland of Vancouver.
Sure.
Well, so we're out here, and it blew up.
Yeah.
We didn't realize.
My
sister's an artist, Barb Hosapple. She lives here in Indian Head.
Well, of course. The Hosapple name is well-known in the Indian Head area, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, well, they're big fans of yours, too. They've been listening to your show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, and, of course, your time with the police department is wonderful. I actually coached my daughter. She was like 10, and her friend and Jim Chu, I don't know if you know.
Oh, I know Jim. Yeah, former chief in Vancouver.
Yeah, exactly. So we coached baseball together for a couple of years, and so there's a nice connection there.
I like it. Richard Cochran.
We opened the shop.
Go ahead.
We opened the shop. Yeah, it just kind of fell together. My sister, the artist, she wanted to have a little studio with some other artist friends, and it blew up into a big Starbucks-style coffee shop with art everywhere. We've got over 30 artists now, and we have an open mic here once a month near the end of the month too, so we see all this musical talent and poetry and all sorts of stuff.
Well, I mentioned to my wife when I was putting this segment together today, I said, we definitely have to go. We have a little family cabin out by Katepwa, so close to Indian Head. And a lot of the texts that I'm getting from your fans, people that love the Gallery Coffee House, are people that are at the lake. They make the drive to Indian Head to grab coffee. Yeah. You've got some great baking in there as well. But I want to go
maybe
to one of your open mics. Not to sing, but to hear some of the talent that would be there, because you get a great crowd for those, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We get a great crowd. It's lovely to see the different generations supporting the younger generations coming in, doing songs, playing piano or whatever. Maybe you could come and host sometime, Evan.
I would be glad to host if you would agree to play. Would you play a little bit?
Yeah, I'll play.
Awesome. That would be great. Well, Richard, I've appreciated having you on the show. Congrats on the success of the Gallery Coffee House in Indian Head. I am born and raised in Saskatchewan. Rural Saskatchewan is where I believe our province's heart beats. And so yeah. I'm appreciative of the work that you've done to just bring some excitement to that community.
All right. Thank you very much, Evan.
Great having you on the show. Richard Cochran, if you haven't had an opportunity, if you're in the Indian Head area, go by the Gallery Coffee House. You can check it out online. They've got a great social media presence. Everything from actual artwork. They've got artists' work hanging on the wall. They actually have some afternoons and nights where you can go and create art there as well. And then, as you just heard Richard say, an open mic segment. And to meet Richard himself, here's a guy played for well over a decade with Randy Bachman, has gotten to know Neil Young, met Ringo Starr. We didn't even get into, he's met Aerosmith. He's worked with Tal Bachman, who is, of course, Randy's son. All kinds of great experiences. I believe you could probably sit down over multiple cups of coffee and keep talking with Richard all day long. He's a great fella, and we're glad to have him and his family here in our province. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I know what Richard means. We just chatted with Richard Cochran. He says, I love the music you play, the bumper music, I think is what we officially call it, heading into our talk segments, because songs like that, Rush, take you back. I'm sure Richard's played his bass guitar to that song in the past as well. Well, we've had a full show today, and we're not done yet. We've got Premier Scott Moen, a live news conference coming up at 12 o'clock now. I'm guessing his news conference will no doubt focus on these new canola tariffs that have been announced by China this morning. I'm guessing the notion of the pronoun court challenge, the pronoun law court challenge, will creep into the question and answer that happens with the media afterwards. Don't forget, we had Dwight Newman on this morning, who's a constitutional law professor with the University of Saskatchewan. And I said to Dwight when he was on, judges, many people will say judges should interpret the law but not make public policy from the bench. It is a very fine line, though.
Well, the Charter of Rights, when it was added to the Constitution, drew courts into a lot of areas that are closely interlaced with public policy. And so there is a very fine line there. I mean, at a principled level, I think almost everyone's in agreement with that idea, that it's for courts to interpret laws and for legislatures to develop public policies, but there can be some complex overlaps. How that plays out in a particular case, there's a lot of things to be said.
If you listened to the conversation we had with Dwight Newman this morning, you would have heard him say the province's use of the notwithstanding clause does align with its intended usage under the Constitution. The question the court case will bring about is whether or not people's rights were infringed upon, and I asked Dwight this morning, what are the possible outcomes that could come from that?
I actually don't expect there will be a lot of discussion on whether the use of the notwithstanding clause was appropriate or not. That's largely just a question for the government and complying with form. Mm-hmm. So the possible outcomes would be that a court says this law violates rights, but there's no legal effect to that because the notwithstanding clause has been used. Mm-hmm. Or they could say they're not going to issue a declaration at all. They still have a discretion on that. Or they could say they're issuing a declaration that the law doesn't violate rights in an unjustified way, and so it wasn't necessary to use the notwithstanding clause. Or there's some additional permutations because there's one right at issue that the notwithstanding clause doesn't apply to. If they actually found that the law imposed cruel and unusual punishment, which got added into the proceedings, the notwithstanding clause in the statute doesn't cover that off in the way that it was framed. And so they could technically strike down the law in that instance.
So
there are various routes that could yet happen, but they're all about whether what the court says about rights.
If you want to hear the entire conversation with Dwight Newman, you can go back on the website and check that out. We take a quick break. When we come back, a live news conference with Premier Scott Moe, the province's reaction to the new Chinese canola tariffs. When we come back on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.